This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow than Mustang down. Mustang Sally, my baby. Guess you better slow than Mustang down. You've been running all over town. Oh, I guess you gotta put your flat feet on the ground.
Oh yeah, a little Mustang Sally for you. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I did ride in on a Bronco, but not a Mustang. Remember the Ford Mustangs? They're still around, are they not? I think so. Good morning. I am Paul Molloy, as I said, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, April the 20th already. Wow. Glad you're with us. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. We are going to talk with Zach about his organization's mission to eliminate voter fraud. Now that is a tough one. And heighten voter integrity. Well, it's something we need, right? So we'll talk to him about what they are planning on doing. Meantime, the mainstream media has ripped into a Florida district judge who has tossed out, and by the way, it's a woman, she has tossed out the mask mandate on planes and trains. We're going to get some thoughts on, are they going after this woman because she's a woman? Or is it because she's a Trump-supported judge? Whatever. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about that and other things, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned for that. And President Biden has apparently told Barack Obama that he is running again. I wonder if Obama fell down when he heard that. But here's the deal. Could this be a Machiavellian deal here? Could this leak be perpetrated by Democrats so that Biden does not ultimately seek re-election? We're going to talk about that as well. And we have a great top 10. If you were listening to us on Monday, we gave you the top 10 most popular first ladies. So today, we're going to give you the top 10 least popular first ladies. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Men, I keep saying this, but it's true. I have never found a better barbershop. I have never found a better barber. I have never found a better price. It's not like one of those hair salons, you know, where you spend $25, $30 for a nip and a tuck and this and that. No, 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 no. You go in there for a legitimate haircut, you get a great price. And if you're a senior, you get an even better price. Now, they're located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Call first for your reservation, 727-733-3773. Well, the Ukraine thing continues. I don't understand. I'm beginning to think that the Ukrainians are made of real steel. I mean, have you ever heard of a group or a country of people that are more, maybe since World War II, that are more devoted, sacrificing their lives for their country, like the Ukrainians? Russia's presence apparently along the eastern border of Ukraine has continued to grow. That's where the Russians are now focusing their attention. Sounds to me like they want to take what amounts to about the eastern half of that country. And they'll allow the western half to remain, what's the word, un-Russian? Now, Russia gave Ukraine a new deadline to surrender Mariupol, one of their major cities. And they gave that deadline to them today. In the meantime, more than 5 million refugees, 5 million, have fled Ukraine, most of them going through Poland. There's about 2.8 million that went through Poland. There's about 750,000 that went through Romania. And 550,000 are in Russia. One way or the other, they're in Russia. So all you can do, I guess, right now is pray. I wish we would just let those Polish MiGs be sent. Get that over with. We're sending everything else over there, Stinger missiles and what do they call it, Switchblade missiles or something like that? All kinds of other things. I don't know why we can't send the MiGs. I do not know. It is, we might as well send those MiGs. Now, all we have to do is allow the Polish MiGs to go, and Poland just has to send them over, I guess get them sent over or have some Ukrainian pilots fly them over, and away they go. But in the meantime, Ukraine's President Zelensky continues to talk. He's repeatedly been asking for more weaponry. He said it's unfair that he's forced to continue asking allied nations for help when they have all these weapons sitting in storage. He said if we had access to all the weapons we need, which our partners have, and which are comparable to the weapons used by the Russians, we would have ended this war. So he's out there. Wow. You know what? I'm just amazed they haven't gotten to him yet, the Russians. But he's been the Winston Churchill, you might say, of the Ukraine. Now, this Title 42, that's that Trump-inaugurated law that said you can't come pouring into the southern border if you've got COVID-19. And we're going to keep you out until we make sure that you don't have that that issue. Now, of course, they did that to slow down border infiltration. Everybody knows that. 10 Democrats, though, have now broken ranks with Biden. They're siding with Republicans about Title 42. They do not want it to stop. Here's Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona, obviously a border state. Right now we have a crisis on our border. This administration does not have a plan. Now this is a Democrat saying this. I warned them about this months ago, he said. It's going to be a crisis on top of a crisis with the elimination of Title 42. He's just one of the Democrats that are speaking out. Others are Kristen Sinema, who's also from Arizona. Not surprisingly, she's been a very, very moderate influence. Representative Henry Cuellar from Texas, a Democrat. Obviously, Joe Manchin from West Virginia feels that way as well. So there's also Senator Raphael Warnock, Democrat from Georgia. Now he's up for re-election. And you'll note that a lot of these Democrats that have decided that they want to keep 42 in place are up for re-election. Because it's a big issue and they know it. It's a huge issue. It'll be interesting to see. Now, this thing is supposed to end. Biden is supposed to make this thing end in, I think, mid-May, something like that. We'll see if it really does. All right, we are going to take our break. And when we come back, Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation can talk to him about eliminating voter fraud.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be
hey, we are
day.
Back on a Wednesday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Now, tell me the truth, Ed. I am looking up at the television at Johnny Depp, the actor Johnny Depp, who apparently is suing his ex-wife for lying about something or other. I never got into the details of it. The only thing I know is that somehow, you tell me if this is true, because I know you follow this, somehow she cut off his finger, or he cut off his finger.
Well, there's been some domestic violence, and she's accusing him of the violence.
Well, if
he's
she cut off
to,
it...
He's trying to clear his name.
Yes. And she wrote a piece in, I guess they call it an op-ed. She accused him of, I think it was battery and a few other things.
Right.
And he is suing her.
Right.
He is suing her. But my question is this. I don't know much about the whole thing, but does he still have that finger? Do they put it back on?
I don't think he has the finger. I'm not sure, but...
Okay.
What would it really matter? I mean, he plays a pirate half the time, and they lose a lot of digits anyway. He's going to spend less time in makeup, you know?
Now, that is one of the best answers you've ever given me. Oh, my God. All right. We're going to turn to something. And this is, I got to salute the Heritage Foundation. They are making a big deal out of trying to, never end total election fraud. I mean, it's been going on since, you know, the first ballots were cast. But they're making a fine effort to try to slow it down and make every vote cast in an election a legitimate vote. We got Zach Smith with us. Zach, welcome back to Freedom Works. Tell us a little bit about this mission, if you would, by Heritage Foundation on voter fraud.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
On the show again, Paul.
Always a pleasure with you.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the chance to talk about this issue because it is so important. Look, I think we all saw in 2020 the election didn't run smoothly, putting it mildly, in many places around the country. And so what we've done at the Heritage Foundation, we really spent a good chunk of the past year going through the election laws of all 50 states, finding out what states did well, what states did not do well, what laws they should add on the books. And we gave each state a score. We ranked them 1 to 50, including the District of Columbia. We put forward a series of model bills that states could just take and adopt for their own states, really in an effort to try to do exactly what you said, ensure election integrity in each of the 50 states. And some states, you know, so first of all states have room for improvement. Some states did well. Some states, unsurprisingly, did not do well at all. But look, we wanted to give folks the information, not only state legislatures, but also citizens, the information about how to approach their legislators, give them the information for what states should be doing, and hopefully, you know, will help make us all more informed citizens and equip us all with the knowledge of what helps to ensure safe, free, secure elections.
I think this is a very noble cause. I really do. And then you're going to pass this information to each state based on your research as to how well they're doing or what they could do better, et cetera. I think it's a noble cause. I really do. Now, each state basically runs its own elections. There's been an effort, as you know, to federalize or bring it up to the to Washington to start setting rules, which obviously would be a horrible, terrible thing. We've got to, number one, make sure that each state is still going to be responsible for its own voting procedures, correct?
Well, that's absolutely right, Paul. And look, if you look at the Constitution sets the primary authority with state legislatures to set the rules and procedures for elections that happen in their states. Now, Congress can step in certain instances and set nationwide rules. You know, they set a national election day for federal elections. That's why we all go vote, you know, in early November for federal elections, general elections. But other than that, that's typically been a very limited role that Congress has played. Unfortunately, what we've seen recently by Democratic members of Congress is an attempt to essentially federalize, wholesale, the election procedures and the way that elections are conducted in states. That is not something the framers of our Constitution envisioned. It's really an unprecedented federal power grab in a lot of ways. And unfortunately, I think it's, you know, it seems to me it's nothing more than a raw political power grab because for whatever reason, many on the left in Washington, D.C. are opposed to common sense voter integrity measures like requiring a photo ID in order to vote, which, by the way, is very popular among all ages, all demographics out in the, you know, the real United States outside of Washington, D.C. But look, it is up to states to ensure the integrity of their elections. And again, we want to provide legislatures and citizens with the information they need to help make sure their elections are safe, secure, and free.
Yes, indeed. We're talking with Zach Smith. He's a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, actually at their Mies Center, which does concentrate on such things as legal issues. And Heritage Foundation is on a mission to try to, I guess, make voter integrity to raise voter integrity and to, I guess, raise the confidence level. Because right now, I think, Zach, people are very, what's the word? They're not confident. They're not confident anymore. I think, you know, there are things that are being done on both sides. Democrats and Republicans will say, oh, no, you know, this is not right and this is not going on. Some people feel there's voter suppression. Other people feel that, wait a second, what's wrong with a voter ID? That's not voter suppression. It's very complicated, really, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't, right? Obviously, there's been a lot of, you know, divisiveness surrounding this issue over the past year. But look, there are common sense measures that can be implemented. And again, you know, things like the voter ID, if you look at the polling on the issue, it's very popular across broad spectrums, left and right, across ages, across different races and genders, because everyone inherently understands. You know, think of all the things you have to show a photo ID to do in everyday life. Rent a car, go to a hotel room, just go if you want to fly, if you want to travel. You know, photo ID is required. And many states have made the barriers very low to make sure that someone gets a photo ID in order to vote. In fact, we say at the Heritage Foundation, states should give someone a photo ID in order to vote if they can't otherwise afford it. And so this isn't about trying to deny anyone access to the ballot, trying to restrict efforts to vote, as some unfortunately on the left claim. This is about ensuring that every legally cast ballot will count and that no illegally cast ballots will be counted. Because, you know, unfortunately, you know, those on the left like to say that voter fraud doesn't happen or that it's very rare. Well, if you go to heritage.org, we maintain a voter fraud database. It's not comprehensive, but there are a number of cases across many states that show that voter fraud does happen and that, unfortunately, it's very hard to find and very hard to prosecute. But this idea that it just doesn't happen is nonsense.
Yeah. Now, have you ranked states in terms of how well they are doing? Do you have a list that says here are states that are doing very well with voter integrity or at least better than others? I mean, anything like that?
Yeah, we do. We rank them across a number of metrics. We give them an overall ranking. And then we rank them in different categories as well. And so if you or your listeners want to go check out our election integrity scorecard, you can just go to heritage.org /election scorecard, and it will take you to the scorecard. Now, I do want to emphasize one thing, Paul. You know, one of the things we saw in 2020 is that many election officials, governors, attorney generals in some cases, secretaries of state, weren't following the rules on the book. That's very hard to measure for, to account for. So what this scorecard is doing, it's just ranking based on the laws on the books and trying to put in place laws on the books, encourage states to put in place laws on the books that would hold officials accountable. And so, you know, unfortunately, in 2020, we saw state officials not following their laws, but our scorecard ranks those laws and then suggests some, like giving state legislatures standing to intervene in election-related lawsuits, that hopefully will help hold officials accountable if they, in fact, do violate their state's laws.
One thing, and we've talked about this on our show quite a bit, and I'm always a little bit worried about the integrity of mail-in voting. Now, here in Florida, we have mail-in voting. We've had it for a long time. And I like to think that it's safe. But let's be honest. When more than one or two or three pairs of hands is you know, has got your ballot, you start to worry about chain of whatever, you know.
Right.
It used to be you could go right to the, you know, to the precinct. Because you had to go and vote. It was on voting day. And you knew that you were putting it into a wooden box. And maybe the people that are going to be pulling it out of the wooden box were the ones who were actually going to be counting it. So there weren't a lot of people, chain of custody, you know, with it. But now with mail-in voting, you don't know how many pair of hands have been, you know, holding your ballot. And you would start to wonder, am I a little too paranoid about that?
No, you're not. Look, mail-in voting is unfortunately the least secure method of voting. Voting in person on election day is the gold standard. And in many of the instances on the election fraud database that we maintain, in fact, revolve around mail-in voting. One of the big issues that we've seen increasing in past years is this idea of vote trafficking, where these third-party groups come in, they collect hundreds or even thousands of mail-in ballots in some instances to try to take them to election officials. This is where the potential for fraud...
Great. Isn't that like ballot harvesting or something? Is that what it is?
It is. It's ballot harvesting, ballot trafficking, different names for the same phenomena. But, you know, where these third-party groups come in and collect just hundreds of mail-in ballots. And so one of the things we've suggested is that states implement laws basically prohibiting ballot trafficking, ballot harvesting, and only allow third parties, you know, close family members, maybe caregivers in some instances, to take mail-in ballots on behalf of voters back to the precinct or to mail them in. But look, mail-in voting is inherently the least secure method of voting. And so the more states can do to help protect that process, you know, simple things like requiring someone to put their driver's license number or include a copy of their photo ID with the mail-in ballot, all of that would help make that process more secure as well.
Yeah, I guess it's impossible to put the genie back in the bottle and just say, you know what, we're going to eliminate mail-in voting. Everybody line up at the precinct because we're all going to go back on voting day and that's the way we're going to do it. And that way, but that would be, to me, that would be the way to do it. I like the good old days.
Right.
But I guess that just ain't going to happen. Now, let me ask you, and without giving it away, because I would like people to visit your scorecard, could you name a few states that are doing well? You don't have to name, you know, in any particular order. And then maybe a few that are not doing so well when it comes to what you would call voter integrity?
Sure. Well, I like to say the SEC school states are doing pretty well in voter integrity.
The SEC? Oh, okay. Southeastern Conference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Make a football reference. Go Gators.
Florida is one of them.
Florida is, and I'll give this away, Florida is actually ranked fourth right now in terms of voter integrity. They got a score of 78 out of 100, so still room to improve, but they're doing pretty well relative to a lot of other states.
Okay.
The same is true of states like Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, and again, this is based on the laws on the books, and many of these states have implemented new laws in their past legislative session just this past year, so they're doing pretty well. Some of the states that aren't doing well, you know, it's the usual suspects. New York, New Jersey, California, Oregon, Washington, Hawaii, that unfortunately have very lax voter laws.
Are they less inclined to demand a voter ID? You know what I mean? Is that part of those states' issues, a voter ID?
It is.
Okay.
It is. It's a big part of those states'
All
issues.
Right.
Because many of these states do not require voter ID. Many of these states allow same-day voter registration. Many of these states do not conduct regular maintenance of their voter registration rolls. And so when you put all of those factors together, you know, it's kind of the perfect recipe to have, you know, less secure elections and for the potential for fraud to greatly increase,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, Zach, like I said at the start of the interview, this is a noble battle by the Heritage Foundation. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. And if people want to go to the scorecard, et cetera, do they just go to the Heritage website to look this up?
They can. You can go to heritage.org and find it from there. Or if you want to go directly to the scorecard, you can go to heritage.org/election scorecard, and it'll take you to the homepage for the scorecard.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much, Zach, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Excellent. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
All right, sir. Zach Smith. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the mainstream media has ripped into this female Florida district judge. She's tossed out the mask mandate on planes and trains. Hey, let's get some ideas on this, thoughts on this, as well as a few other things from the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Join the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill every Saturday from noon to 2 as we cover Tampa Bay sports, from the peewees to the preps to the pros, providing a positive perspective in our weekly interviews with NFL alumni and Florida Sports Hall of Fame inductees, as well as collegiate, high school, youth coaches and players, conversations from the clubhouse, as well as entertaining guests weekly. So be sure to have a championship day with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Saturdays from 12 to 2 on the Tan Talk family of stations.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Thank you again for being with us here on Freedom Works on a Wednesday. Well, it's a real joy to watch the meltdown by the mainstream media when people like this Circuit Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell, who she was, by the way, a Donald Trump appointee, and she has ruled you don't need your mask on planes and trains anymore. To which there's been a big hip hip hooray by most people that are getting on those transportation devices. Listen to this. This is Lawrence O'Donnell from MSNBC. He asserted that Mizell, the judge, was, quote, basically Donald Trump in disguise. As a federal judge, he said, yeah, it absolutely reads like Donald Trump as a federal judge, just making these sometimes non sequitur pronouncements that are not based on any discernible fact. Well, the thing is that they are based on fact. And she went into detail to say why the Center for Disease Control did not have the authority to tell you that you could or could not wear a mask on a plane. They don't have the legal authority to tell you that. They don't. And she went into detail as to why. But boy, you'll go down the list of all these different mainstream media people screaming and yelling about it. My God. We got Andrew the Master Barber. Andrew, I know that I don't know how much you get on a plane, to be honest with you, but you would think that most people would say this made sense, you know, that you can now, because when you get on a plane, actually it's the air situation on a plane, it's really good quality control.
Yeah, Paul, there's no question about the quality control of the air in the planes, the filtration systems that they have. But, you know, the people got to realize that they want to keep this little bit of mask mandate hanging until November. This way, when the next COVID comes in for all the mail-in ballots during the November election, it's still there, you know?
Oh, I see, yeah.
I thought of it. Because you heard Fucci there a couple weeks ago say, oh, we're going to get another wave, you know, and so they got to keep their little edge on.
So, in other words, the Democrats are going to use COVID-19 as a way to continue to push mail-in voting because of the idea that, hey, you don't want to get into a crowd at a precinct. You might get the COVID.
Of course. They got to keep something hanging in there. Listen, We all know this is over with. Okay, if you get anything, you're going to get cold-like symptoms. The virus is gone. It's that simple.
It certainly isn't. Go ahead.
It'd be like the flu, you know, or something we get here and there seasonally, probably, but it's over.
Yeah. It's kind of going out, not with a bang, but with a whimper, right? Slowly but surely.
That's it.
Yeah. So, I know that you've had a little bit recently, a little bit of misgiving, may I use that word, with what's going on between Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. One of the things being some of the people that Trump has been backing, including in the 13th Congressional District. And not only that, but some of the things that he has said about whether or not DeSantis, you know, should run for president, or the fact that he, Donald Trump, made DeSantis, which is a huge exaggeration. Ron DeSantis made himself. We know that. Are you still, I don't know, are you still comfortable with Donald Trump?
I'm comfortable with him, yes. I mean, I know he'd handle things good. I'm not liking a couple of things that he's doing. And it actually hit me this morning. You know, like Donald Trump endorsed Ana Paulina Luna.
In the 13th Congressional District.
In the 13th Congressional District. Now, I can't understand why. But, you know, with the redistricting that they're doing with District 13, it's going to be a very, very big congressional district.
That's in Pinellas County, for those that don't know, and it includes St. Petersburg, which is one of the major cities in Pinellas.
Right, but St. Petersburg is going to be thrown over to Tampa. Okay, it's going to be another district. It's not going to be part of 13.
The entire city of St. Petersburg is going to be...
I think half of it. Half of it is going to be going toward Tampa.
Really?
And
what a mess.
And where 13 ended, just past, just up the Tarpon, is now going to go into Pasco, which is going to help the District 13 Republican.
Yeah.
As far as the redistricting.
Now, let's let people know that Republicans are doing the redistricting because they control the legislature. And the legislature's majority is the ones that's reshape border, boundaries, you know, for congressional districts, right? But this sounds so crazy to split up quite frankly to me. I mean, St. Petersburg should, in my opinion, be in one legislative district.
Well, who knows who or what or why they're doing
it,
I don't know.
Sure.
But, you know, it dawned on me this morning, why would Trump endorse Luna? Well, maybe that's his way of kind of getting to Ron
DeSantis.
That's endorsing somebody that isn't going to benefit him any good.
So you're saying that, okay, let's just, thinking this through, Trump endorses Ana Paulina Luna, who is not a person that Ron DeSantis would endorse necessarily, and Trump is doing that to somehow bring down DeSantis or get under his skin, or what?
Maybe to get under his skin.
Okay.
But, you know, it's like I told you earlier, I really believe that a Ron DeSantis endorsement to a candidate is going to be a lot more powerful than a Trump endorsement in the state of Florida.
Yeah, so I think you might be right.
I'm still hoping that Ron DeSantis is going to endorse Kevin Haslett, which I believe he would, because if you look at the other candidates, you got Ana Paulina, moved her from California, okay? We don't need somebody from California trying to get into District 13 because you know how they're going to think. Even though they say one thing, you know they're going to do another. Then you got Christine Quinn running, and she's a sweet lady, don't get me wrong, but I believe she was a kindergarten teacher before she retired. And
well, there's nothing wrong with that. She'd probably bring some common sense. Go ahead.
Right, but I think that these politicians would eat her up and spit her out.
Yeah.
Okay, then you got Audrey Henson, which is she's a sweetheart too, but she doesn't have the toughness and the gumption. Then you have Amanda Mackey, and she moved in from another area to try and get in District 13. She was a lobbyist for the pharmaceutical companies. She was an advisor to Lisa McCloskey, who Mitch McConnell just gave $7 million toward her campaign in Alaska, the idiot. Okay.
You're talking about Lisa Murkowski, senator from Alaska, who's a moderate Republican. I guess we could call her that. Go ahead.
I call her a Republicrat.
A Republicrat.
A Republican.
Now, let me ask you this about Kevin Haslam, who, by the way, is very glib. We had him on the show, thanks to you, because of your connections. He came on and sat here with me in the studio, and he's been a Clearwater native. I would think that he would have, well, I would think that that Governor DeSantis would give him a lot of thought because of the fact that both of them are Clearwater area natives.
Not only that, you know, Kevin Haslett's four's got three sons. One of them is a very successful financial advisor. The other one is at West Point, and the other one is a naval officer.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Naval Academy. So that alone right there, and Ron DeSantis being out of the Naval Academy, you know, is...
Yeah, he's got sort of the same,
background.
Some background.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, but we don't know. We don't know what DeSantis is. He hasn't publicly backed anybody in the 13th district?
Not yet. Not yet. But he is going to. You know, at first they were going to wait for the primaries. But, you know, you wait for the primaries, you can get a loser in there. We've got to win District 13.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that can win it, as far as I'm concerned, with the popularity and what he has going on, is Kevin Haslam.
Okay. On another issue with DeSantis, and it keeps coming up, is the situation with Walt Disney World in Orlando. And the fact that, I don't know if it's that town celebration or what it is, but somehow Walt Disney World's got special privileges legislatively. And he wants, and Governor DeSantis wants to take away these, what you might call preferred privilege that
right.
Disney World has enjoyed, mainly because, let's be honest, they're starting to go so woke that it's becoming scary, you know, interfering with children's, you know, children want to go see Mickey Mouse and they want to go see the castle and they want to do the rides. They don't care about gender equity. They don't even know what it is. And I think DeSantis, rightly so, has seen what the Disney World situation is becoming. And this is part of his game plan. Go ahead.
Well, Paul, you know, I agree with what he's doing 100%. Don't get me wrong. But now you also got to realize, too, if he takes that status away from the Walt Disney World, now taxpayers are going to have to take over policing, fire departments, and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather pay and have the kids not get indoctrinated. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's worth the money to get rid of that whole situation if that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Why would Walt Disney and their board even want to venture into something like wokeness? I mean, just think about it. How can we ruin what a good thing that we have here? Oh, I got it. Let's try to scare the parents into thinking that we're trying to manipulate the kids sexually and politically. That'll do it. That'll turn them away, right?
I'm quite sure they're feeling the effect of it already, Paul.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, last Saturday there were about 500 or 600 people outside the main entrance to Disney World picketing.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, and people are fed up with it.
Yeah.
And they're starting to get involved. It's like,
that's right.
We slept for 2 decades and look what happened.
I think you're exactly right. I think that you hit on it. The people or the parents are getting more involved. And that's a good thing. And it's and now we realize how important it is for parents to be on guard all the time. Because look what happens when they're not. Look what happens in schools. Look what they're trying to teach kids in schools. When parents are just assuming that the kids are being taught the things that they're supposed to be taught, you know, the ABCs and math and all and science and that kind of thing.
Well, Paul, it's like I told you. I'm firsthand experience with the whole situation, seeing how somebody was indoctrinated, tried to live that lifestyle because they thought it was the in thing to do. And this was all through college, you know that. Then all of a sudden, must have got slapped in the head and realized it's normal.
Yeah.
But I'm a firsthand experience of what they have done. And when I was going through it, the mother was a teacher telling me, listen, don't worry, this is okay, it's a phase. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? At that time, I had no backing with people that I knew. You know, my family, immediate family knew what was right and wrong. But I had no backing from other people. Everybody was like, oh, you know, this is what it is today. And da, da, da. But now it's a whole nother story. A few years later, it must be a lot more parents getting affected with it besides me.
Well, there's a lot more involvement by parents. And the radar is up, and I think that's a good thing. Andrew, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so very much. I look forward to Friday with you.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, sir. There he goes, the master barber himself. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, Biden, His Eminence Biden, has apparently told Barack Obama he is running again. Now, here's the deal. Could this leak on that be perpetrated by Democrats to ensure that Biden does not seek re-election? We are going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tantalk Radio Network. SVA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Hey, we are back. Final segment of Freedom Works today, Wednesday. And by the way, thank you for listening. We are on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. But if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, go to our website. Click on the podcast button. He puts all our shows on podcast. You can listen to us anytime you want. These programs are such treasures, you will want to listen again and again. So go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Thanks, Ed, for putting those on there. All right. Now, here's an important question, Ed. I have been watching the Johnny Depp thing on Fox News. We have the TV.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that he has a nice man bun and he has an earring on.
Evidently, she's a heck of a boozer, though.
Is she?
She'd drink every day, and she promised to stop drinking, and she didn't, and well, I don't know. To me, does this really have to be on Fox News? I mean,
that's
really
what I was going to ask you.
I mean,
aren't
is there
more
nothing
important
else going
thing?
On in the world?
Exactly. We got the border. We got the Ukraine war. We got inflation. We got the gas prices. By the way, what is the gas average right now. You know, I went and I filled my tank. I thought, okay, we went under $4. I go over to 7-Eleven. You know, it was $4.06.
You know, I got $30 worth of gas the other day. $30. And I ran some errands.
It gives you
and
about 2 gallons.
I know, I was back where I started on the gauge, and I thought, do I have a hole in the gas tank?
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, wait a minute now.
Yeah.
$30 only got me 7 gallons of gas.
That's scary, isn't it? That's scary.
And you have to remember, yeah, gas prices are going down. I'm surprised he hasn't taken credit for that. But remember, he's opened up the reserves 1 million barrels a day for 30 days to bring it down. And that it's only come down,
that's what? A drop in the ocean.
It's come down maybe 10 cents
it's
total.
It's going back up.
And it's going to go back up. And it's going to go even higher because when that thing kicks in about no more Russian oil, where are we going to find it?
I have a little car. You know that. Little Nissan Altima.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I went to 7-Eleven. $71 and change.
Yeah.
$71.
My Ford Explorer is 80. Over 80. If I go from E or a little above E, $80. But I take the scooter around. That's about $6 a week, maybe.
Okay.
It's a gallon and a half.
And before we get on to my story here, I think we should. There should be a hunt for Johnny Depp's finger.
Well, I've been looking as far as his left hand goes. No, wait, his right hand, because he's been talking a lot with his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
All the digits are there.
Count all five?
All digits are there. So
it might be on the left hand.
It could be.
And I'd like to know how he lost a finger.
She cut it off, I guess.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
God. That alone should require that she serve some time.
Well, it's not. I don't think that this is not a criminal trial. I don't believe that this is a civil trial.
Did she really cut off his finger, do you think?
I don't know.
Or did he cut it off during a fight?
This is the first I've seen of this. I mean,
okay.
You think she murdered somebody or something? The way Fox is covering it today.
You're right. So, President Biden has told Obama, former President Obama, he's planning to run. Sorry for laughing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
How did that go?
Can you imagine what shape Biden's going to be in?
Hey, Barack.
Excuse me.
Barack.
He's 24.
Barack.
He won't even know which way to stand in front of the camera. You'll see his posterior. That's what you'll see.
Barack, I'm going to run in 2024. And Barack, yeah, sure you are. Go with that, Joe.
Yeah, okay, Joe.
You go, Brandon.
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
You go, Brandon.
Yeah, sure, sir. Okay. So here's the question. And I heard this post, I think it was on Fox News. Could it be that the Democrats intentionally leaked that so that people will start jumping down Biden's throat now to discourage him from running because they don't want him to bring the entire party crashing down?
Think of all the candidates that are on the fence about running for the Democratic ticket that are saying, I can beat that.
That's right. Yeah.
You need to start preparing now because the Republican ticket is almost set, to tell you. It's either Trump or it's DeSantis, one or the other.
Okay, that's a good point. What about Pence? I think Pence is making a run, too. You don't think Pence?
No, that whole thing with the shut the voting down or whatever, that whole thing fell apart.
On the Democratic side, what is there after
He's a nice guy, but politically Pence. He's finished.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
On the Democratic side, what do they got? The only people I've heard are Biden, Kamala Harris, and Pete Buttigieg.
I think Buttigieg
is
probably going to move. Kamala Harris, no. Let me tell you something. The Democratic plan just before Biden went into office was probably to have Biden step out of office within 6 months.
You think?
And I believe so.
And he's decided
at least
to stay
within the year. But they, you know, Kamala Harris has stepped on so many toes and stepped on her tongue so many times, they don't want her in there. That's how bad it is. They'd rather have Biden than Kamala Harris in there. Because
she's a complete deer on the headlights.
Because you want her in there. If this is the future of your ticket, you want her in there now, gaining momentum going into the election. Not putting her in there 6 months before, because she's going to fail.
Yeah.
She's going to fail anyway, but who cares?
Yeah, wow. Okay. Very good. Well, we're going to get to our top 10. We have a good one. On Monday, we gave you the top 10 most popular first ladies. Do you remember, Ed, who the most popular first lady was?
Yes, the one that...
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Eleanor Roosevelt, because he was in for four terms. Yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah.
So we've got the least popular. And I want to see if you know who is number one. Now, you better listen.
All right. Okay.
You better listen. Here we go, number 10.
How do they spell pantsuits? All right.
Number 10. That was a weak drum roll. Thank you. Abigail Fillmore. Millard Fillmore's wife. I know who. She served as first lady from 1850 to 1853. Upon moving into the White House, she was shocked to learn the residents did not have a library, so she started building a library there.
Didn't even unpack, for crying out loud.
Number 9. Eliza Johnson, that was Andrew Johnson's wife. He was impeached, but they didn't convict him. And she has long been known as one of the most private first ladies, all right? Number 8, Julia Grant, Ulysses Grant's wife, one of the first ladies to truly embrace the role, heavily involved in her husband's campaign. When he told her he was not going to seek a third term, she was devastated. Number 7, Lucy Hayes, wife of Rutherford B. Hayes, revolutionary first lady, an ardent supporter of African-American rights way back then.
Mm.
Number 6, Lucretia Garfield. Garfield was assassinated, by the way, James Garfield.
Mm.
And she played an important part in his role as a president. She contracted malaria and was still convalescing when he was assassinated. Number 5, Grover Cleveland's wife, Frances Cleveland. Youngest first lady of all time at 21 years of age. Number 4, Ida McKinley. That's another one that was assassinated. McKinley stands with Mary Todd Lincoln and Jackie Kennedy as one of the most tragic first ladies. She had two daughters that died very young, and the assassination of her husband, major blow. She died less than 6 years after her husband's assassination. Number 3, Helen Nellie Taft, perhaps most popular and best remembered for the planting of the 3,000-plus Japanese cherry trees in Washington.
Mm.
There you go. Number 2, Edith Wilson. She was one of the most controversial. Woodrow Wilson suffered a massive stroke while in office, and it was led to claims that she usurped his power.
Took over.
She herself said she acted on his wishes alone. All right. Who do you think has been ranked?
Well, nobody.
Number one most, least popular first lady yet.
Nobody on that list has been anywhere close to today's age. You know
that's
I mean?
True. That's a very good point.
I gotta go with Hillary.
I would, too, but right. We would both be wrong.
Yeah, well.
Guess who it was? Rosalind Carter.
Really?
Now, you got to remember that she probably took the brunt of blame because of the way Jimmy Carter was running the presidency. Rosalind Carter was known as the Steel Magnolia during most of her time. And
well, I guess she could lean over to Dr. Jill Biden saying, "How do you feel?"
There you go. Hey, thanks for listening. We will be back on Friday. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City.